Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. By the way, Albert Elise now has 8 goals for Boa Vista. Our next guest, Eddie Robinson, and we didn't, on my problem here is I didn't time things out perfectly tonight, but we got about 6-7 minutes with Eddie. We will be calling the game tomorrow against Sporting Kansas City on Channel 55. 7 o'clock is the pregame show. Eddie, I'm going to get right to questioning. None of the gratuities and the any of that stuff. We were just talking about Manchester City and playing with a false nine throughout pretty much the entire Premier League season. Are the Dynamo playing with a false nine under Tab Ramos?
I think they did in the first game, Glenn, and thanks for having me. The first game against San Jose, I thought that Memo Rodriguez and Maxi Urruti had a great relationship. Urruti was dropping in, playing underneath a little bit. Memo Rodriguez, late runs in behind, trying to get high. They were switching positions. I do not think that they did against FC Dallas. I think Maxi Urruti and Memo Rodriguez, because he was playing out on the left, were not that effective. And I think that the Dynamo really need to focus on the offensive side of the game. I think defensively, they've been very good. There's no question whatsoever about that. But they've got to figure out how to create more chances, more dangerous opportunities. And if that's Memo playing in the middle, if that's Darwin Quintero starting and giving them as many minutes as possible, and Tab Ramos has said that maybe he's not completely fit yet, but the Dynamo have got to create more offensively to score more goals. But defensively, I think the team has been great. As far as a false nine, I think it's been back and forth. I don't think it's been consistent.
Eddie Robinson joining us. He'll be the analyst on tomorrow night's Quest 55 call of the game. We'll have a pregame show at 7 o'clock. And also the third member of our team is Cindy Bourbano. You know, Tab Ramos was talking about teams in MLS that win games maybe they're not supposed to win because of an individual performance. And you know, generally, they don't do that much, but they end up getting the points and winning a game. Speak a little bit about that, because it is a funny league, and you do have to win some games sometimes that maybe you don't deserve to win.
Well, I mean, anybody that followed Major League Soccer for any decent period of time knows that any team can beat any other team on any given day. And I think a lot of that has to do with the culture, but it's building. It's an attitude. It's completely an attitude. And if you go back and you look at the game against FC Dallas this past weekend, it was an ugly game. There were tons of turnovers by both teams. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't spectacular on either attacking end of the field. So what you have to figure out is how to make sure that you don't give up anything silly on a set piece. Dynamo did. And you don't give away any silly challenges like FC Dallas did and resulted in the penalty kick that Fafa Pico scored. Now, I hope that Fafa Pico is going to get some, you know, which I think is much needed confidence from that goal, from his teammates, from the coaching staff. I think that the Dynamo really need to buckle down defensively again. And I said it a minute ago, they've been fantastic. But you have to be scrappy. You have to, in the midfield, the opportunity to foul, opportunity to kick someone, take a yellow card when you need to, earn opportunities, take fouls in and around the box. I said it on the radio call because, you know, the FC Dallas game was a national broadcast, and you and I were fortunate enough to get to do the radio broadcast, but there were two times that Maxi Urruti got into the box basically one-on-one with the goalkeeper with a trailing defender. And it looked like he was going to be fouled, or he was being fouled, but he decided to stay on it and stay on his feet. There are so many little things that go into winning ugly games. And I think this year, the Dynamo, that since they don't have any offensive superstars, they're going to have to win games in ugly fashion. And I think that's what the old Dynamo teams were capable of doing on their day, with Brian Ching or Dwayne DeRosario or Brad Davis, weren't at their best. The teams were still able to win games in ugly fashion. So this is something I think the Dynamo need to look into and need to do. But offensively, they've just got to be sharper.
Eddie Robinson joining us here. The thing Tab Ramos said was, he says, I watch other teams win games doing so or doing much less. And then he went on to say about the attack. He said, look, we got to make better runs. We got to get more numbers in, more support. So, you know, he's pretty much across the gamut on wanting more out of front runners, Eddie. And you and I will have the call tomorrow, so that's going to be fun. I will see you at the stadium, and thanks for weighing in tonight. Albeit it's a pretty quick segment, I'm sorry about that.
It's all right, Glenn. I appreciate being on with you, and I will look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
You'll have plenty of time to commentate tomorrow night, so we'll make it up. All right. Eddie, thanks for coming on tonight. Much appreciated. That's Eddie Robinson. He'll be on the Channel 55 Quest broadcast tomorrow. And appreciate Eddie, as always, coming on the show. You want to go back, if you missed it, and hear the Tab Ramos interview right now. Caller number 3, 713-780-3776. How about a four-pack to the Houston Dynamo and Sporting Kansas City? Four-pack right now. Caller number 3, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Donna Summer, I guess, qualifies 80s. Synthesize. Synth, yeah. It's a great song. 713-780-3776. Caller number 3 right now. You'll get a four-pack to Houston Dynamo and Sporting Kansas City.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm Tyler Adams, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, a quick word for my friends at FM Kitchen and Bar. Now, this is a great neighborhood bar. I go there a lot. I love the outdoor patio. Great spot to bring your dogs. It's dog-friendly. But what I love is the combination of craft cocktails combined with great food. I like a good gin and tonic. I'm not going to drink a lot of them, but when I do, I want it to be a great cocktail. Food is also excellent. I do the burgers, the chicken sandwiches, the salads, on it goes. Ranch water, highballs, classic and frozen margaritas, 30 beers plus. It's open 7 days a week. It's FM Kitchen and Bar, and you can check for the specials. FMKitchenandBar.com. They got steak nights. They always got interesting things going on. All right, time to get a word here from the head coach of Sporting Kansas City, Peter Vermes, on the opponent.
All right, Peter. So first thing, that win last night, the come from behind nature of it. I've heard you say you guys are still trying to find your way here in 2021. Tell me about how important that was last night.
Yeah, look, we've had four games thus far, and I thought we did really well in our first game against New York Red Bull. That was a tough game, very, very difficult team in the way that they come and press and the energy that they have, and especially playing at home and playing away from home in our first game at their home site. And then come back home and play Orlando. And in that game, I think it was neither team actually played all that well, but it was one of those chess matches, if you will. We had a chance to win it and then gave up, tying goal late in the game. And, and this is what happens to you when you're not, when not everybody is fully fit, not everybody's, in the lineup that you expect, you're trying to find yourself, and you have these bumps in the road, and it depends on how you're going to deal with them. And I thought the mentality of the team, I always think it's interesting. Last night, tough game. They score a good goal, you know, but we have most of the game in that time period. I mean, there's no doubt that they had some breakouts and stuff like that, but it wasn't all over our goal like we were on them. And so you can easily come in at halftime and be lacking confidence, thinking, oh, you know, what is going on? We're not going to get one. And I thought the mentality of the team was good to come out in the second half and really start to put pressure on them. And you could see that they were now sitting back in their half. Where the change is for me is that when you go down a man, as you know really well, it's really difficult to sometimes to break a team down, especially when they go into a low block. And they can get galvanized behind the fact that they're up a goal. And for us to not only get the first goal, but the second goal and keep going after it, it's a good sign. It's definitely a good sign. I'm not going to say now all of a sudden we have this unbelievable mentality, but it's a step in the right direction. That's the piece that I like. And also when you go to the possession, you know, we were 61%. That's a part of who we are. And the other games subsequently, we weren't very good, but those games had a different idea to them. And so I'm proud of the fact that we came back to being a little bit more who we are.
Sporting KC coach Peter Vermees joining us. Peter, you know, just to go back to playing a man down, what is your theory on when you have somebody sent off? I mean, do you really want to drop that deep in a low block like Josh Wolf brought on a third center back? Or do you want to be a little bit more progressive maybe and try and get a little of the ball and you know, kill it off in a different way? What's your theory on that? Because I know you've confronted this a number of different times in your career as a coach.
Yeah, if I may, just for a second, just to counter what he did, and that was when they went to five in the back, their whole idea was try to take the wide play and the service in the box away from us. And it's one of the reasons why I stuck Kyrie Shelton in as a second forward to give us a point of reference. Now you got a big body in there. Now you got to really deal with that guy, which left Polito to go do what he does really well, and that is he can come underneath, he can go out wide, he can kind of start making the game. And so to your point, I think where the difficulty comes is whenever you drop in a low block, I've seen there's one team that I think does it incredibly well, and that is Chelsea has always felt very comfortable in dropping into a low block. And also Real Madrid can do it as well, where they drop in a low block and they're not affected by the possession of the other team, but they're also really good at once they win it, they can progress up the field in a very good flow. It's not a lot of teams that can do that. And so what I thought that we did well was when they were in the low block, we were able to move the ball around from side to side to really open them up. And so from my perspective, I think you have to be out a little bit. And then the other piece too is that you still have to try to maintain some of your semblance of who you are and still try to keep the ball and build up the field. But it's a very difficult proposition.
Talking to Peter Vermees, head coach of Sporting Kansas City. He's done it all in Major League Soccer, won cups as a coach, cups as a player. Dynamo taking on Sporting Kansas City tomorrow night. So do you see a change in your players? You know, emotionally, physically, anything after that game? I mean, here it is. You know, I'm speaking to you the day after, so I'm not sure how much you did today. But do you get a sense that maybe the confidence level goes up now or things change a little bit?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think always when you win, you know, I always say coffee tastes better the next day, right? In the morning, it always tastes better. And I think for the players, it's the same thing. They have a different vibe about them. I also think when you look at some of the statistics that came out of the game, you know, we created what Opta calls 8 high quality opportunities, something that I think hasn't been done since 2010, since they've been keeping all these stats. And they were really high quality opportunities. And so the guys got to feel good about that, as I told them. And you know, sometimes, you know, we both have seen this many times and we've been a recipient of this. You know, you possess the ball, but you do nothing with possession. The fact that we were able to possess the ball and then get really good quality chances is a step in the right direction. And so I believe that confidence is there. It's building. I wouldn't say, oh, we're overly confident. We're doing great. You know, again, we're building towards something and that's a good feeling. And we're getting more and more guys back fit, getting Zusi back on the field, having been out for like 6 months after his surgery. Big step in the right direction yesterday.
All right, let's talk about Alan Polito and then we'll go into Graham.
Just talk a little bit about him. He's had his injury problems. He's had a little bit of a up and down like we all have with the pandemic, especially you guys when it comes to games and playing. Where do you see him at right now? And, you know, I saw you make a statement that said basically for us to go, this guy has to go.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's just got something special. He really does. It's I see him every day. His work ethic, his ability to bring players into the game, and then just his prowess around the goal and his finishing quality is just tremendous, outstanding. Great team guy, works his butt off. Just, you know, has it all. And so we're gonna, you know, last year unfortunately we got ourselves into a good position with winning the division. And having home field advantage. And, you know, we just didn't have all our best guys available, you know, when we really needed it. The objective is going to be to try to make sure, like every year, to try to make sure that those guys are available. And we need him to be that way. We'll probably lose him for the Gold Cup. But, you know, what are we going to do? That is what it is. You got to go play with this country. And we'll have to manage the time away. But, yeah, he's a special player, and he's somebody that we need to you know, if we're gonna make a run for something, he's got to be firing all cylinders.
Peter, I saw Matt Beisler and all the players coming up to him. It was really respectful. I mean, I wish it was mentioned more on TV, but I saw that and I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. That doesn't happen with everybody. It also doesn't happen that somebody would trade a guy like that away. And you, I know, do what is correct for your organization. That had to be a tough one, though, because that one, I'm looking at you, and I remember you offering him the DP money along with Graham after their great performances in the World Cup. That had to be a tough one for you.
It was for sure. I think whenever you're making these decisions in this position, if you stay true to your foundation, which is, you know, I've been entrusted, if you will, to be the steward of this club on the technical side. And I have to make decisions that, you know, at times, you know, just like anybody has to do it, they're difficult, right? And so, but my foundation is always going to be that the club is always going to be first. And as much as I think Matt still has a lot to offer to the game, you know, I'm not here telling him he can't play anymore. That's not my job. That's for him to decide that, right? That was never, sorry about that. My light went off in my office, but
yeah, don't worry.
It's not my position to do that. And so I just think he has a lot more to offer, but it's just not here anymore. And so I thought with every player, you know, it's never an easy conversation, but, it was a respectful one between the two of us. And I understand that he has to go on and do what he's doing. And, you know, I wish him all the best. I really do. And I think that, like I said, I think he's going to help out Austin a tremendous amount just because he's been a great guy here in many different ways, and on the field, off the field, all that. And he's going to help them with the same. And so, yeah, it was difficult. But I think also the other side of it too is that we've always had a really good locker room since I've been here. You know, I don't know if it's good recruiting on our part as a staff. I don't, you know, whatever it is. We have a good locker room. It's a respectful group of guys, respectful of the teams we play against, and respectful of each other in the locker room. I think, you know, all the guys know that Matt was and has been a very important player for this club for a long time. And I think it was just, you know, out of respect that all the guys, including staff members as well. And what's interesting, our assistant trainer is now the head trainer there as well. Great guy, Tosh. And so, you know, it's interesting to see all those guys after the game.
Peter, you're not afraid of making the tough decision. You got Houston Dynamo 2 nights from when we're doing this interview. Your great friend, Tab Ramos, you guys have so many parallels in your career, roommates, all these things. What do you see out of Houston? What sort of a change might you see in them this year so far?
Yeah, it's easy to see that in the offseason, Tab really wanted to put his stamp on the guys that he wanted, made some real changes, no doubt, as it's a team that's pretty athletic, powerful, you can see, and playing with a sort of a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, for sure. They're going after it. And that doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think it always happens when a guy gets his second year in the league. You can see that there's another turnover on that roster. And you can see it's more of the guys that he thinks that he can be successful with. And you can see that right now in Tab's team, and they're going after it, no doubt. It's a tough group when you watch them play.
So you'll go after it too with your system. You've never been one to hold back and hope for a break or play for a set piece. You've never been one like that. So I'm assuming this could be a very entertaining game on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too is that the weather probably will be conducive to that, you know, because sometimes, as you know, the weather there can slow a game down, can do a lot of different things to a game. But I think the weather is going to provide, you know, the ability for both teams to kind of get after a little bit. So pretty sure that's what it will be.
Peter, as always, thank you so much for coming on, and appreciate you doing this on your day off. Well, I don't think you have any days off, but Peter, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Glenn. Good talking to you, pal.
Yeah, you too.
So that was good stuff there from Sporting Kansas City coach Peter Vermes, and both him and Tab Ramos, so many parallels in their careers, both as players and in the coaching business. Quick word here for Advantage BMW Midtown. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've bought from Advantage numerous times. I love the drive of a BMW. I've had a 5 Series in the sedan category. I have an X5 now, drove it 23 hours to New Jersey, and after all, it is the ultimate driving machine. Advantage BMW Midtown. Go down there, ask for Steven, ask for Justin. Their customer service is second to none. They'll take you through sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. So get in that sedan. The time is now. Advantage BMW Midtown. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Advantage BMW, remember this, Midtown. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
Real fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
I'm Jordi Sunyer in Barcelona, and you're listening to Soccer Matters.
Here we go with the final segment of the show tonight here. It's presented by Hugh O'Connor's, the official home of Soccer Matters and ESPN 97.5 European Championship coverage. We're going to do 4 live shows out there throughout the Euros. Tuesday, June 15th, the 22nd of June, the 29th of June, July 6th, all at Hugh O'Connor's pub out on I-10 near the Marquee Entertainment Center. Get out there. That's where you watch the European Championships. That's where you come for live radio. Hugh O'Connor's, the official home of Soccer Matters and ESPN 97.5 European Championship coverage. And don't forget, we will have guest hosts, jerseys to give away, raffles, plus tickets, all kinds of things out there each and every Tuesday night. So June 15th, 22nd, and 29th, July 6th, live shows at Hugh O'Connor's, the official home of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 European Championship coverage. Final segment of the night, it's part 2 of the legendary Dwayne De Rosario, who has a book out now.
So I got 2 big questions here. Number 1, I agree with you. I don't think MLS ever promoted you as much as they should. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, 100%.
Number two, if the Houston Dynamo had done better financially and shown a little bit more love, would you have stayed?
Yeah, I loved Houston, man. I still love Houston for sure. I think it would have made it tougher for me to say no, you know, because it would have put me in a position, in my family position. We had a house out there, you know what I mean? We were comfortable. Our kids liked it. It would be hard for us to turn it down.
Yeah, because I'm thinking here, you go for that shot for the third title, you get that third title, you go for it, and Toronto's going to be there for you. I mean, I can't see Toronto never not wanting Dwayne De Rosario. That's
right.
Kind of the way I was looking at it. Okay, 2008, you have the All-Star Party in Toronto. I like this part that I read. And again, I don't want to give too much away. But you basically do an event with your brother. You have a company called Dero Entertainment. You do an event in Toronto, and to your theme of wanting to show your city off and show it off in a different way, this is all about you and your entertainment company. I'm not sure it was financially the greatest thing for you, according to the book, but it did achieve what you wanted, and that was, you know, you wanted the Beckhams and all these different people that were coming to Toronto to get to understand the city and maybe the culture and the music scene and some of the really cool things a little bit more.
Well, and to be honest, Glenn, it wasn't just that. It was also just soccer, just putting soccer in that, you know, NBA has the All-Star game. They have their players doing, throwing parties. So I'm always like, why can't we could do the same thing, right? Yeah, so I said, yeah. In Toronto, we're gonna make it happen. Yes, financially, at the end, I was kicking myself in the behind, but I was happy of the product we were able to put together. You know, Beckham had another gig somewhere, and he stayed there the whole night. He said, forget it, I ain't going there. I'm having so much time. Kevin Hart was there. Estelle was there. Cardinal Official was there. You know, Maestro Fresh West. So these are big Canadian artists was there. Yeah. You know, so we had the who's who. There, of course, Blanco was there, you know, Landon, all these guys are having a great time. And for me, it's like, this is what, about. This is what the game is about. This is what the All-Star energy is about. And I don't even think to date, if there was anything done similar to that to this day.
Well, what's neat about it is it was generated by you organically. I mean, it wasn't something that the league puts on and,
right.
You know, and I'm not bad mouthing the league for one second here. I mean, you have to do those things, but there is an organic nature to it, right? I mean, it's the D-Row party. It's not the right. So-and-so party brought to you by, you know, so
and
pretty cool.
And that's again, what, cause I've been fortunate to play in quite a few of these All-Star games, and you don't see a player, you know, hosting their own party, as I mentioned, like you would see in other pro leagues. Right. It's just unheard of. So I was fortunate to be the first one, and, you know, hopefully down the road, I'll be able to do more like these and encourage players to make soccer cool, make it, you know, it is a cool sport. It is a highly favored sport. It is, people are attracted to the sport. As we see now, look at those artists and actors investing in MLS teams now, and NBA players investing in MLS teams now. So there's something to be said about that.
Dwayne De Rosario joining us. New book. It's called D-Row, My Life. He wrote it with Brendan Dunlop. The foreword by the boxer, Lennox Lewis. You can get it at DwayneDeRosario.com. I'm going to hit Dwayne up and give a book away on the show as well. There's a coach I want to mention here. Bruce Twomley, I remember him. I think he was a player also, if I'm correct.
Yes, yep,
how many influence he had on you?
Oh man, Bruce, yeah, tremendous guy. Yes, he was a player, a coach that really saw me for me, really appreciated what I brought to the table, and really wanted me to continue to be me on the field. He wasn't really trying to change me too much. Even though he did have his ways of how he saw me in the formation, how he did want me to play. But he was the first real coach at the Canadian national team or any level that really embraced my style of play, playing with flair, taking guys on, creating 1v1 situations. So me and him had a great relationship. You know, there was times where, you know, we had training camps in Vancouver and I would stay by his house. He'd take me under his wing. And I never seen a guy love football so much more as much as my dad. And he was that guy, you know, he created opportunity to go try in Barcelona where Bobby Robson was the coach. He had a great relationship with him, as I shared in the book. So there's just so much things that man did for me, encouraged me, inspired me to be me. And he truly helped me in my career to be where I was, to be able to accomplish those accolades. I don't think I would be able to do it if it wasn't for guys like him.
Dwayne De Rosario joining us again. The book is D-Row, My Life. And Dwayne writes it with Brendan Dunlop. And in that book, you'll find out about the time when Dwayne went over to Barcelona. And I don't want to give a lot of that kind of stuff away. You know what I always loved? And you used the word dangled. And basically, you used the ball as almost like a fishing lure. You baited people in and used that ball to kind of tease defenders and get them to commit defensively. And then, obviously, you'd blow by them. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, that comes from my childhood upbringing. We would always play a game called Salad, right? And Salad is, the object of Salad is you got to put the ball through the net. I mean, through the guy's legs.
Through the legs,
so,
yeah.
You're right. So we would say, okay, there's maybe 5-6 of us playing, and there would be a garbage can or a tree or whatever, a stick. And if you got the ball through your legs, you have to run and touch the stick. So, but while you're running and touch the sticks, guys could kick you, hit you, whatever the case is. It's just one of those crazy but fun games, right? It is. It was with us. We had a lot of fun playing. So when you play Salad, it just kind of give you a visual of that kind of bait move I always do, is you have to do something to get the guy's legs open, because a lot of guys hold their legs together and they'll keep it like that because they don't want you to put through their legs. So you'd have to do something to try to get them to open their leg just a little bit to try to get the ball through. And, you know, a lot of people that play in the West Indian communities and the culture, it's not about who won. It's about who did the coolest move, who, you know, that's what the game was about. That's what the excitement is about. And that's where I got a lot of that kind of style of play from, you know, just dribbling slow. Thierry Henry does it very well too. You know, carries the ball slow with his right foot, wait for you to commit and then take off with pace. And no different than something that I've used as a childhood to at the pro level.
Dwayne De Rosario joining us. Dwayne, I want to take you back to something you just said a few minutes ago about Bruce Twomley, who was a Canadian coach that, you know, kind of gave you that freedom to play the game the way you want to. When you get in that conflict as a player with a coach who's trying to get you to do some other things, yet mm-hmm. you have this idea of the game, how's the best way now, looking back, to maybe navigate that, right? Because players are going to have to do things to a degree differently for coaches, depending on who you are. So, you know, how would you or what would you suggest to a young player in how to handle a situation like that when a coach is asking you to do other things and you feel like you may be losing your identity as a player?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And there's no right or wrong way, but my way would be to really find that balance. Right, because at the end of the day, you do have to play according to how the coach sees you fitting into his system or his style of play. I had to learn that too. That in certain areas of the field, there's no need to take those, you know, certain risks. Like I don't need to salad a guy or put it through a guy's leg in my own 18. Mind you, I would, and you probably see me do it before, and you're like,
"Oh, seen you do it, yes."
That's a ballsy move, right? But it's not something that I would do consistently, right? And I think having coaches like, again, Bruce Twomley, having coaches like Dominic, Frank Yao, they really understood what I was good at, but they were also able to help me understand the things that maybe, because maybe I was hard-headed, they say, listen, you can't dribble everybody. You got to learn when to let it go and when to play. And as soon as I started to play more in that midfield role, I really started to enjoy that a lot more, and let the ball do a lot of running, and let the ball doing a lot of play. So to answer your question, I think finding the right balance where, yes, you're not taking away who you are, but you're also creating space to learn and to develop, because that information the coach might be telling you might be the difference why you may be not playing, or maybe not, or the opportunity to move to a bigger club or a bigger team. You know, it's really finding out what kind of player you are and what do you bring to the table, right? I think right now we find a lot of players want to be Chris Ronaldo, want to be Messi's, and, you know, to not understand, like, these, they're very special, right? They're just special. So, you know, we have a guy that I always kind of highlight when someone asks me that, a question like that, is Brian Mullen. Right? Brian Mullen, not the flashiest player. When you look at him, you won't say, oh, this guy's amazing or everything. But talk about a guy that's consistent, does one or two moves very well, and he does it consistent, and he knows what he's good at, and he sticks to what he's good at. You know, a lot of coaches like those players, right? And I would take more of a gamble on that player than a player that is a little bit more of a risk taker and wants to take risks. Just knowing when and when not to do it, I think is important. And also, just one more thing, you always have to create room to listen, right? You can't think you always know it all as a player. Even though you've maybe accomplished so many things, you always have to give room, because you never know if something a coach is saying is like, you know what? He's I could see that. He's right about that. Let me change this. Or let me change that. Let me tweak this. Let me tweak that. So you always got to be able to listen and observe and learn. And that's how you become, I think, a more well-rounded player.
Fantastic answer. And this is why this is such a great book, because it has a lot of different names and people that Dwayne played with and against and moments. But it's also got a lot of really good lessons for soccer players in it, I think. This is why it makes it a really, really interesting read. Two questions before I let you go. I did see something in the book where you talk about Christine Sinclair, the legendary women's goal scorer on the Canadian women's national team. I've called a ton of her games. And you mentioned Alphonso Davies, and you said, you know, kind of, hey, let's put a few, you know, posters of them up in Canada as opposed to always Messi and Ronaldo, and let's kind of honor some of our greats.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's something that I've always dealt with as a kid, you know, growing up and going to soccer stores, and I've never seen anyone being represented. You know, I've never seen Alex Bumbry in a soccer store, Paul Peschlider, Craig Forrest, and these are guys playing, doing very well for our country, but you don't see them, right? In fact, not only do you not see them in stores, you don't see them anyway. You don't even see them a part of our program. But you know, it's just recognizing our own. I know Canadians are very nice, we're very humble, but it's also nice to know that you can go in a sports store and see, hey, you know what? That's Alphonso Davies, or that's Christine Sinclair. You know, they did this, they did that, and because they're very marketable people, right? You don't even see Steve Nash. And he's an NBA legend, Jamal McLaurin. So, you know, that's just my Canadian pride talking, and just, you know, asking the reader, have you ever seen any billboard or any signs? We see all the American great athletes, which is okay. I mean, deservedly so, but we also have Canadian great athletes that we need to highlight on this side of the tracks that we don't, you know. And we need to do a better job of that as Canadians.
Yeah, honoring that great soccer history and great athletic history. Okay, so I'm a big music guy, as you know, and I know you're a big music guy as well. Give me some of your latest that you've been listening to when it, you know, that's got a good little reggae vibe to it. What are some of your bands you're listening to now? I mean, not the old school stuff that we know, but maybe some fresh new bands.
Yeah, you know, I'm an old school guy. You know, I can't lie. I love my old school music. But recently, you know, obviously having kids and stuff like that, I'm really liking the Khaled, DJ Khaled's new album. It's just, again, I think I like Khaled and I respect him a lot more just because of his story. You know, he was a ball boy for the Bulls. I think it was the Bulls. Was it the Bulls? I think for the Bulls, the Bulls, one of them too, is a ball boy for, made his way into the music scene, and now look at him. I mean, what another great story. And so obviously knowing his story, I'm a little bit biased towards that. And the artist that he was able to put on this new album is just amazing. And him not even being an artist, him being more of a producer was... It was phenomenal, and I really like the songs that are on there. I like the messages of the songs that are on there, and for me, I like music with a message. Other than that, there's, you know, I love my reggae, so you know I love what the how the reggae and the culture side is going with Protégé and Chronix. I really like what they're doing and preserving the culture. And on the hip hop side, you know, I'm still really navigating through there. But as I said, I think, you know, Khaled, the album is, you know, really, really fresh.
And I assume you listen to a lot of Marley, Tosh, Toots and the Third World. That's what I'm listening to always.
That never stops. The Steel Pulses, the Burning Spears, those.
Yeah.
Those are always on the playlist.
Incredible stuff. I love that song Pressure Drop by Toots and the Maytals.
Yes.
Another good one. Okay, so last thing before you go, and this is an interesting one for me to hear the answer from you. Alphonso Davies now, with what he's doing at Bayern Munich, and we're all just, you know, just in awe of this kid's talent and his potential even. It's even hard to believe we're talking about his potential, but he still has a window, I think, and a high ceiling. What has that done for Canada? I mean, how much attention is being paid to him in Canada when it comes to soccer, Alphonso Davies?
He's getting some attention. Not as much as I would like, but I think what he's been able to do, again, another great story. I think it's another compelling story of a young kid that really have made the best out of the opportunities that living in a place like Canada provides, and taking it with both hands. You know, at first he went through his trials and tribulations as a young footballer, being doubted by people, Vancouver taking him on, and of course a player that I've played with at TFC, Carl Robinson, really giving him that boost and that extra push. Shout out to Carl for really putting him on the stage at such a young age, where people were questioning him and saying, why are you putting this kid shouldn't be playing, we're trying to fight for points. But he believed in him. He saw something that no one else saw in him and gave him his first real exposure. And of course, salute to Alfonso for capitalizing on that and creating a, you know, in the span of 2-3 years, winning everything there was to win in Europe, you know, and now looking, like you said, the potential is endless. Now, whether or not he could translate that with the national team is a whole nother conversation. That's not easy. As we know, it's tough at that level, at the international level, to represent your national team and to beat, especially Central American teams in Central America. But, you know, I wish them all the best. I hope that he really elevates the team and puts them on their back, and I hope the rest of the players feed off of his energy, because it's a great opportunity right now with all the excitement around the game and what he's been able to accomplish with 2026 on the horizon. Hopefully we can use that as motivation to push us over the top. And, you know, I think it's a great time for the sport in this country.
Dwayne, listen, this has been a real pleasure. I think we could have went on and on and on, but it's so interesting to talk about your career. I love the messaging in here, along with all the things you've achieved and you will continue to achieve off the field, because you are a giver. I want to thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. It was a real treat, I think, for my listeners.
I appreciate it, Glenn. Always a pleasure getting on your show, and I always appreciate the support, man. You take care of yourself.
All right, that's Dwayne De Rosario. D-Row, My Life is the Book. DwayneDeRosario.com. That's where you get it.
That does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And as always, a big thank you to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, they will cover you 24/7, nights and weekends. You'll get that personalized approach. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. It is DaspitLaw.com. And a big thank you, as always, to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. By the way, presenting sponsors also in Austin at DaspitLawAustin.com for our show on the Horn. Twitter and Facebook, it's at Glenn Davis Soc. Keep an eye out for burning topics on all of our platforms each and every week. Brought to you by Cactus Music. For Aaron Raybould, I'm Glenn Davis. On behalf of the firm, remember always that soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5.